of the Son to its ascent.
The name of the Lord is to be praised.
Praise is due to you, O God, and to you shall vows be performed.
Holy temple, and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. The strength of my soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing the ways of the Lord. For the great glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. O Lord, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the words of your hands. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson for today is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. St. Paul writes, since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and the love and for the helmet of the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are doing. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. We urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Long ago, at many times and in various ways, God spoke to the forefathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
The Holy Gospel for this, the fifth Sunday after Pentecost, according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You, go and do likewise." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. We now speak together the 10 commandments. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. You may be seated.
Amen. My texts are those words. We highlighted them in bold print from our second lesson from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And, you know, there are times when it is okay to be, shall we say, redundant. To kind of say the same thing over and over again, even in the same sentence, if you are trying to make a point. And indeed, when we look at today's, the theme of today where it says, rejoice, always, there's 2 words there. At the heart of a word like rejoice, the root word, of course, is not like a formal name like joyce, but joy. And rejoice basically says, you share and show that joy over and over again. So it's just go and share that joy over and over again, always. That's almost redundant. But you realize something. That a person where Jesus Christ and Him crucified is what is in our heart. It's first place in our life is what we declare and proclaim. It's what our lives are all about. That is a life that wants to rejoice always. And that is a life that is filled with joy. Joy fully, if you will. But joyfully His, first and foremost. And you know, we talk sometimes about opposites. You know, simple things, you know, opposite of black is white, opposite of tall is short, whatever. But it makes me wonder, what is the opposite of joy? Or joyful, or rejoice, any of those words. Is there an opposite? Well, the most obvious one, and we'll call it a cop-out word, instead of joyful, would be joy. times like that, there is still a Christian joy that comes forth that doesn't pretend to understand, and understands at least so far as we're just not going to get an explanation from the Lord. And I'm not sure we would understand it if he tried to. He did say that his ways are so much higher than our ways, his thoughts than our thoughts. Okay. We still must face that. And as we have to face those kinds of things, there are so many things that are trying to pull you away from our Lord and Savior. But joy says that I know that the best path is with Jesus Christ. If he was willing to give up his life on the cross for me, if he was willing to take away all my sins, if he was willing to make me his own in the waters of holy baptism, why would I ever want to leave him? In St. Paul's letter to the Romans, one of the most powerful books about what Jesus has done for us, Paul goes through the 8th chapter and it ends with those words, "Nothing will ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Then he runs into a little bit of a conundrum and he starts talking about the people that were the people of the covenant of the Old Testament who have walked away from that covenant. What is to happen to them? And he spends the next 3 chapters trying to speculate what he hopes will happen, what he prays will happen, but at some point, he just has to step back, and he gives this benediction over the riches of the love and mercy of the Lord, and he goes on from there, where he just says, you know what? Some of this stuff I'm just going to have to leave to the Lord. I'm going to give thanks to God for what he has done for me. And so we're going to have the opportunity to show that joy here in the weeks to come. And it's not going to be easy. For those of you that can't get down to Tampa, I hope you will tune in. Some of the live streams are just going through. There's so much stuff already that's on our website. But it is unlikely, not impossible, but unlikely that no matter how many of us gather together, even if we were the size of a group of tens of thousands that are in Minneapolis that were going to be in the papers, in the news. Hearts that are filled with joy don't seem to resonate much. We seem to be more than content. For example, in the last couple of weeks, we have been given a substitute word of pride up to here. We've been hearing all about it. But pride without the joy of faith is no pride at all. You, my friends, can go and talk about pride because we have not a boastful pride, but a pride that knows of what Jesus has done for us. When that man comes to Jesus and says, "Oh, I say, you inherit eternal life," what an awful question. What can I do to inherit the throne of England? Nothing. It doesn't work that way. What can I do for joy in my heart? Well, what we cannot do, the Holy Spirit has done. And that's where that joy comes from. And the joy that goes in is also the joy that goes back out. Not departing and never coming back, but that comes forth from a heart that's filled with joy, that's begging to do something with it. And in that, we can take true pride. We know what pride is. We know what it is like to be able to have the confidence of knowing that my Savior is never going to fail me. So then, these key verses remind us that there are three things we can do, and all of them seem to be redundant. We've already talked about rejoicing always, giving more joy and joy all the time, okay? Giving thanks in all circumstances, that we thank the Lord. We thank the Lord for all of the daily gifts that He is going to give to us. And lest we forget, these are opportunities here. Both the one that's going on with our youth convention that's coming here locally to remind us that the Lord has blessed us in more ways than we could have ever imagined. I don't think we take too many opportunities to give thanks for a church body. But when you see what goes on in conventions in so many of those other churches, they don't dare spend 1 second, many of them, talking about what should we believe, what is the proper path, because they've abandoned the truth of Scripture a long time ago. They will talk about every social issue that they possibly can. They'll pass resolutions that are basically condemning us for everything that we have ever been. But here we have a church body that is ready to give thanks in all circumstances in more ways than we could have imagined. One of the things that's going to happen this coming week is that we have got representatives from 5 different church bodies around the world that are going to be gathering, and this is just this one convention. This has happened at almost every other convention, as far back as I've been going to conventions, where as a delegation, we need to pass the resolution that places us, gives us a formal relationship with that church body in this part of the world, and that church body in this part of the world. 5 different church bodies that we are now going to become one with. We're going to be able to share what's called a special fellowship that we will have with them. It needs to be passed by the delegation, but those things pretty much almost always are. And then there will be a special signing ceremony between the leaders of the 2 churches that remind us that now we are going to share. We are going to share our resources. We're going to share whatever it is that we possibly can. Ways to make sure that we're going to be putting forth the gospel of Jesus Christ in all of the best ways possible. The only way that happens, my friends, is for that final one, to keep on praying. Our church body is no different than many others. As we are starting into now the 3rd generation of people who are growing up largely without the church, very few of whom have been baptized into the name of the Triune God, almost none of whom understand what the power of forgiveness through Jesus Christ, how it transforms lives. And it's making the job of the church harder. It's making the role of the church seemingly less and less. But as we pray without ceasing, we realize that we have more resources at our disposal than we could imagine. Because in the same way that we have the joy of Christ in our hearts, that we have Christ crucified moving us forward, so also do we have Christ in the church. So also do we have that greatest resource of all, the power of the Holy Spirit. And even if what we need today would seem to border on a Pentecost type miracle, He can provide. And He is providing in churches throughout the world. But it gives us the opportunity for us to remind ourselves of the role that each of us can play. There's always more that we can do, not only on behalf of our faith, but on behalf of our congregation and our church body, that's going to make us not just filled with joy, but joyfully Lutheran. As we rejoice, pray, give thanks in all circumstances, that's the will of God in Christ Jesus for each and every one of us. My friends, filled with a joy that can't always be seen, can't always be felt, can't always seem to be working in our hearts and lives. But it's still there because it is attached to our faith. Let us fill with joy, filled with a pride that knows what God has done for us, and filled with hearts of thanks. Let's take that joy and remind ourselves that we are indeed joy, fully. Amen. Now may the peace of God, the best of all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds and your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Service folder says that we're going to be going into a special video. We will hold off on that until after the offertory. So let's go right now. Let's receive our offerings. And now we'd like to share with you a special video, which is something we can all share in with this week's National Convention.
In preparation for this summer's LCMS convention, Lutherans are getting ready to support the 2019 through 2021 national offering under the theme, Joy to the World. The LCMS national offering is a special opportunity spanning the 3 years between conventions for individuals, congregations, and districts to provide special gifts reflecting a deep desire to strengthen gospel outreach to people around the world. Between 2016 and 2019, contributions to the national offering, repaired and sent indigenous pastors in Eurasia, show Christ's love and compassion to victims in the days immediately following natural disasters, and much more. Over the next 3 years, Joy to the World will turn offerings into witnessing among new immigrants, reaching out and strengthening the faith of college students, empowering the missionaries of our partner churches, carrying the gospel into spiritually abandoned urban areas, planting new churches in strategic locations both here and abroad, and more. As Lutherans, we know that the gospel of Jesus Christ brings great joy to God's people through the forgiveness of sins and a certain hope of eternal life. The 2019-21 National Offering will support the important work that reflects the Christ-centered joy of Lutheran Christians everywhere, and share that joy across boundaries among those who have not yet heard the powerful message of His salvation. Having joyfully received the gospel through word and sacrament, let's come together for the 2019 National Offering and watch how it emboldens the work that God has given His people to do, brings true and lasting joy to the world, and vigorously makes known the gospel of Christ, that all might rejoice and give thanks to God for every good gift. Visit lcms.org/national-offering for more information.
We are doing two things this coming week. We have left some copies of these, of Joy to the World, that has also got its own little individual offering envelope if you'd like to do that. Or we have got a special offering envelope that will be going down with us to the opening worship service this coming Saturday night. If any of you would like to donate towards that here in the coming week, just bring your offering to the office anytime this coming week. We'll make sure that it gets with us into that envelope as a part of that. Now, because this is just the beginning, so the convention starts the next 3 years, and anytime during these next 3 years is we want to make sure that we share the goodness we have and joy to the world, you'll have the opportunity to do so. So don't think that this is a one-week thing. This is going to be an ongoing thing that we do, that indeed, a special theme that allows us where we ourselves can bring that joy to the world as people who are joyfully Lutheran. Now, as a part of that, we've also been given a special responsive prayer, and this is also on behalf of the National Church Convention for this coming week. So please note the special prayer response that is up on the screen. Please stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, you sent your angel to announce the Savior's birth as good tidings of great joy for all the people. Strengthen our center, that our pastors and congregations may be filled continually with gospel joy. Help us to spread your word with eagerness and zeal. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. strength that you give, that we name before you now in a moment of silence. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Father of life, of whom there is no variation or change in your unfailing love, you never cease to shower your good gifts upon your children. May we always find joy in the goodness of your creation, the blessings of heart, home, friends, and colleagues, even the hardships that turn us to you, and the love that sustains us from day to day. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Heavenly Father, through your Son and Holy Spirit, you call your children to enter into the joy of your presence, to receive your gifts and offer their praises. Strengthen each congregation, school, and home of our Synod, that they may be filled with joy of sins, forgiveness, and death defeat, celebrating in joyful song your great salvation. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. In every place, we pray that the good news of your Son would sound forth, that by your Spirit power many might be rescued from the enemy's darkness and despair, and be brought to share the joy of Christ in living faith. Pour out on all your people a spirit of generosity to support the work you have laid upon us. May the gifts we offer be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. Through our Savior Jesus, may the joy of the Lord be our strength. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, your love is immeasurable, your peace unfathomable, your joy everlasting. Let your love, your peace, and your joy fill our hearts to overflowing all the days of our pilgrimage. On the day of the resurrection, grant us to see our Savior's glory, and enter into the joy of the Lord forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Now, in great joy, hear us as you have taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our service concludes in the bottom of page 9 with Luther's morning prayer. We speak together. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have come to meet this time from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep this day also from sin and good evil, that all my foolish life may please you. For in your hands I commit myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the people of God may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.